Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning and welcome into Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. I am in my basement broadcasting live from Alexandria, Virginia. Danny is in a laundry room in an undisclosed location in the nation's capital. So if you hear a washing machine or the dryer cycle spinning at some point, just know that Danny had to get a shirt or some shorts cleaned for later in the day.
We had some kind of emergency. Well, you know, I'm able to schedule my laundry as an adult. The wife and I could do things, but it probably means that, well, you know, there was a spit-up situation or one of the kids spilled something or some other kind of minor emergency that had to be done right now in the moment. But, yes, if you do hear the laundry going, it's me.
I don't think that you'll be able to correctly predict what happened at my house 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, I'm sitting on my couch, and there's something happening outside the window I can see from my basement into my backyard. What do you think it was?
One animal killing another animal. I'm going to say dog, and then maybe it's a bird that was wounded, or maybe it was a squirrel. Maybe it's something cool I haven't even thought of. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with one animal destroying another animal.
You hibernate, my friend.
Mm.
Poop scoop troopers. We're at my house.
That quickly?
Cleaning up after Fiona. Getting the backyard squared away. Another
amazing
item checked off the spring to-do list.
Amazing.
So Thank you to the good people at Poop
awesome.
Scoop Troopers.
Dude, that's
for coming
like,
out to the house first thing today.
That's like with every dude that's ever gotten married, right? Like his fiance or whomever is like, you handle this one thing, and expecting that it's going to go a certain way, and you just called someone to do it. You know, like that was on your honey-do list, and you said, I'm solving it with a company. Boom goes the dynamite.
Well, I needed to get it done. They were kind enough to say they could accommodate this morning.
Mm.
So it's just another item that I don't have to worry about, which is very good. A huge show today, by the way, on Grant and Danny. So
yeah.
I just got off the phone with the agent for Trent Williams, Vincent Taylor. He is going to join us, it sounds like, at 11 a.m. this morning.
Nice.
55 minutes from now, we've got a lot of questions about Trent Williams' future, you know, wanting to be traded. Is there any chance he could play for the Redskins this coming season? So Vincent Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, is going to join us at 11. You'll want to hear that. Also, speaking of first-time guests on the Grant and Danny radio program and interviews that could get awkward, Larry Michael, who I've known for a long time, have been buddies with for a long time, is coming on today at 1. He is going to announce play-by-play of himself accomplishing a household task. I don't know specifically what he's going to do yet, but I've been told it could involve maybe something with his pets, feeding his pets, something along those lines. He's still got some balls in the air. He's trying to figure out what he's going to do. But we had Joe Beninati putting a load of clothes in the washer. We had Dave Jagler making a sandwich. We had Justin Kutcher making his bed. And today, Joe Beninati keeps our series of broadcasters sharpening their play-by-play skills alive, as Larry Michael will be with us at 1 o'clock. To talk about whatever it is that he's doing in his home.
This is a time for honesty, okay? This is just me being real with you and all of our listeners. I didn't sleep very well last night. I woke up this morning nervous. It's not a work. This is a shoot. This is a straight shoot. I am nervous. It's hard to explain why. My wife did not understand why I was nervous. I impersonate people all the time, and I'm happy to talk to John Walton. I do him. I do, you know, a mediocre, probably to poor Joe B and a locker. I can't really explain why, but I am really nervous about this. Like we were texting back and forth last night. This may be a possibility and it's fun. We'll have fun with it. And it's the right thing to do. We should be doing it. I'm not saying we don't do it. I'm telling you, I am really nervous about it, and I can't explain why. I've got a lot of anxiety.
Look, I would generally say my default would be, Danny's just making a big deal of this, or he's doing shtick. He's making this like a, I can't talk to girls. I'm just a nerd who likes Star Wars. I've never had a conversation with a female who's attractive. One of those things that you do.
Sure.
Really, this is actually legitimate. And the only reason I know that is because when Larry Michael met you at the Super Bowl, I've never seen anyone more uncomfortable or more awkward, or I hate to like throw you under the bus, but borderline more unprofessional. Like, you 100%. Just started staring at the ground, like twiddling your thumbs. He's like, hey, what's up, Danny? And you like had nothing. You just had nothing.
I had nothing. And it was, I don't know how to describe it properly. I don't know why it's this bad. But when he came over and he goes, oh, so this is him. And that's how we started the conversation. That immediately I went, just wilted, completely wilted, stared at the ground, waited for it to be over. I was so uncomfortable. And that kind of feeling has persisted throughout. I don't know how to explain it.
Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, in about 50 minutes, and Larry Michael today at 1. I don't know why you wouldn't want to listen to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We'll also give you another installment of the G&D Movie Club. I have to admit, I did my darndest. I tried as best I could. I gave you 1 hour last night on Bright, and then I hit abort.
You Tress Wade?
I absolutely called on Tressway and lined it up in punt formation.
Is
I
that
just couldn't
allowed?
Do it. Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just sit there for another hour and a half miserably? I watched an hour. I have enough background on the film now that I can talk about it, the characters, the storyline. I did what I needed to do. Pick a better movie. It was not for me at all. There were there was magic. There were fairies and witches. And there was a blue guy who was actually an orc. No, not okay in any way, shape, or form. And it's partially my own fault because I didn't know what the movie was when I should have said no, and I didn't. So today I'm going to do much more thorough research on any of the suggestions, although Thommy would never suggest such a film.
Well,
I think we'll be okay with his list.
Yeah, I said yes because I thought it was a different movie. I've seen it. I'd already seen it before. I watched it again last night. It's really not good. And so the objections that you have to it are – like, you've got your objections, and that's your proclivity. My belief is that your objections are – you're objecting to the wrong thing. This is actually just not that good of a movie. And that's, like, the important part that we should remember, not sort of the, you know, oh, my God, it's got magic. Magic is perfectly fine in billions of movies, whether it's everything from Harry Potter to Lord of the Rings to, you know, whatever happens in Star Wars or Marvel movies. I mean, there's literally a sorcerer involved in the Marvel movies, and we're fine with it. He's going to different realms and using time and everything else. We can deal with that. But the fact that there's magic isn't the problem. The problem is it's not a good movie. And I found myself remembering that. I'm going, why in the hell? Oh,
it's just incredible.
Why'd they make this thing?
Yeah. This thing, we've been doing the movie club less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There are thousands of movies to choose from. Hundreds of them are iconic. You know, there are dozens and dozens of movies available to us on all these streaming devices that are just very tangible and grabbable and approachable, and you could just get them. And somehow we ended up with this movie last night that we subjected our movie club to.
We watched She's Out of My League, Bad Boys 2, and this. And like nobody's watched Shawshank or Goodfellas or anything like that. You know?
I just don't know how this keeps happening. No, it has been. This. I mean, we did Star Wars, so that's legendary.
Yeah.
There have been some really good movies. I think A Quiet Place was excellent. Fargo's an all-timer. Big Lebowski is one of those movies that has withstood the test of time. But we got to get back on the good foot today. At 12:45 with the movie club. By the way, very, very sad. Today would have been opening day in Major League Baseball. Today would have been the day that you and I right now would be sitting at Nats Park. And I'm not even doing a bit when I say this is really sad. In our little bubble of sports, I understand people are dying and the coronavirus pandemic is a disaster in every way, financially and otherwise, and more people are claiming unemployment right now than have at any point in years and years and years. And all of that is way worse than the Nationals not being able to score some runs today. Having said that, with that caveat out of the way, it is an emotionally difficult thing for me to know that right now we'd be in the red box getting ready to go sit in the press box watching Max Scherzer throw 7 innings of 11 strikeout baseball and the Nats get a 4-3 win on opening day. Would have happened today, and instead it's just not the case.
Yep, I am annoyed about that. And again, you said it correctly. Obviously, way bigger fish to fry, blah, 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 blah. We don't have to say that caveat all the time. I mean, maybe we do, because if someone just tunes in, they're like, how could you care about that? And there's other stuff. We're a sports show. I know there's way bigger stuff going on, okay? We get that. And our little thing that we do here, where we banter about sport with each other and with you guys, this sucks. It does. It sucks. I had a my buddy's wife organized kind of a surprise video conference for his birthday this morning. So a bunch of his buddies around the country. He's a doctor, lives in Nashville. And after like a pause in the conversation, one of the guys just like chimed in. He was like, this sucks. And like that's like all just the different things that are going on. And I was like, that's the way to put it. Again, these complaints are all relative. But this is another little, you know, it's the truck is backing up and putting one more thing on the undesirable pile. No opening day today. Opening day is awesome. I don't care if you like baseball or not. It's great. It's about 60% of the year being taken up by these incredibly talented megastars that do things that no other human being can do. 60% of your year is covered by Major League Baseball being there for you every single night, and it's not happening today. And that's what opening day is always about. It's something new. It's that Christmas Day present that's being opened, and we don't get it, and it's annoying. It is.
Yeah, a little bit later on in the show, we will go through all the years of Nats opening days since they turned the corner in 2012, and even back before that, in 05 when they came back to D.C., in 08 when they opened Nats Park, and look at some of our fondest moments. But next, let's do this. This could be from your childhood. Doesn't have to be the Nationals. What is your greatest opening day memory? I mean, it's one of those great dates on the sports calendar. For years and years and years, many of us have treated it like a holiday. We've gone to the games. We've gotten home from school. We've watched baseball. When you think opening day memories, what's the first that comes to mind for you? We'll give you ours, and we'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. In about 15 minutes, what Ron Rivera told a Charlotte radio station about Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and a quarterback competition. You'll want to hear that. And, of course, Trent Williams' agent is on the show today at 11 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Opening day in Major League Baseball will not be taking place. If it were, we'd be ramping up for Game 1 for the Nats. And we'd be talking about the start of the 2020 season, the title defense, the unveiling of an attempt to go back-to-back for Washington. The phone lines are open for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We want your top opening day memory. Scrolling back through the years at games or watching on TV, when you think opening day as a baseball fan, what is the game, what is the moment, what is the fond recollection for you that comes to mind? That is the question on Grant and Danny. Huge show today, including at 11 o'clock, the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, is going to join us on 106.7 The Fan. We've got a lot of questions for him about Trent's future and how we got here with the Redskins. So make sure you're listening in 40 minutes to that. But Danny, you give me your opening day memory that stands out above the rest.
I got a tie with two, but I'll give you the first one here, the most important one for me in my life first. And I wasn't a kid. I was more or less a grown-up. 2005, my friend, opening day for the Washington Nationals. Baseball in Washington, D.C., a 5-3 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. In fact, Masson played a Nationals Classic this particular game the other night. This team obviously would go on with a bunch of cast-offs and veterans and a lot of Vinny Castillas and so much Brad Wilkerson, Levon Hernandez, and John Patterson, and you know the story about these guys, kind of a ragtag group that was thrown together. They would go on to finish 500, but got off to that amazing start, right? They ended up, 19, 20 games over at the All-Star break or at the halfway point. But they won 5-3 against Arizona. Washington, D.C., having baseball in the city once again, something that I'd only heard people in my dad's generation just fondly speak of and talk about, and the idea seemed so far away. The number of times we'd been teased and also ran, used as leverage, and everything else. The times where stores had stocked actual jerseys from a team that was going to be the Washington, D.C. team because we'd heard that it was a done deal that San Diego was coming here, Major League expansion was coming, and somehow George Steinbrenner shoehorned a team into Tampa instead of bringing one to the nation's capital. Everything Peter Angelos had done to stand in the way, it was over, it was real, and it was unbelievable. Thursday, April 14th, 2005, something that started us on the journey, frankly, that culminated, I would say, last October with the Nationals World Series.
Well said. Can't beat 2005. There's no doubt about that. I would say if you want my romantic Nats opening day, it's actually 2008 when they played their first game at Nationals Park.
Yeah.
I remember being at RFK for years, and what a gross
dump
baseball process that was, from driving there to parking there to
everything,
walking up to that ballpark to sitting there and watching games. There was nothing fun about it. It was just a bad environment. The fans at that point, baseball hadn't taken yet. It hadn't really caught on. It was people like reading books and knitting around you, and everyone in a suit and tie just there for dinner after, you know, getting off work at Capitol Hill or whatever. I mean, it was bad. And on top of that, it was one of the worst ballparks any team had played in years and years and years. And then in 2008, on the banks of the Anacostia River, Nationals Park opened up. I was there on opening night. In fact, I had the privilege to do a live several-hour show from field level on MLB Network Radio. And I still remember, you know, one of the bits I was doing during the show is I was going to various parts of the ballpark. Because, like I said, we were there for hours all day, almost like, you know, a Super Bowl pregame show or something. Mm-hmm. So I broadcast live from the bullpen, and then, you know, I was quote-unquote the first person in the bullpen. And then we went upstairs to different sections, and I took a look at how you could see, and you can't really anymore, but some of the great sights in D.C. from the right field seats before some of those buildings went up and parking garages and things. And I just remember the excitement. At that time, I grew up a diehard Baltimore Orioles fan, still root for and pull for the Orioles. You know, I didn't just flip a switch and become a Nats fan overnight. I wanted them to succeed. I wanted baseball to work in D.C. But that night, even though I was not particularly like you're a diehard Nationals fan, I'm a D.C. sports fan. I'm a D.C. sports lifer. I've now got a beautiful new ballpark in my city. And for, at that time, one of the first times I could remember, the entire nation's capital was abuzz about the Nats. And, oh, by the way, that night, people sleep. Odalis Perez started for the Nationals on opening night.
That we should never forget that was a thing.
On national television, just an idea of how terrible they were. Just a horrendous team. Odalis Perez started. I'll say that two more times. Odalis
that was the year,
Perez.
By the way, they brought, what was it? What was the number? 32 starting pitchers to spring training, just to throw some at the wall to see if it
and
stops.
Somehow that's the one you settle on?
That's the guy.
He pitched five innings on opening night. But they beat the Braves because Ryan Zimmerman hit a walk-off home run in the ninth inning in the first night at Nats Park. So that's got to be at the top of the list. And then just as an aside, I would go with this. March 31st, 2003, before the Nats even existed.
Okay.
I went with my father to Camden Yards in Baltimore, and I used to go every year to opening day in Baltimore. I remember him picking me up from school and getting in the car and going up to Camden Yards for, I think it was like a 305 or 330 first pitch that day. And you know, what's interesting was the Orioles weren't good either, but a lot of my favorite memories, I think it's just because it was me and my dad, you know? It was the two of us, and I long for those days so much now because I'm grown and have my own family started, and, you know, I live an hour and a half away. You just don't get to do that as much. And maybe that's part of why this memory is so great. But I just remember, of all those games, that 2003 opener, it was the Indians with CeCe Sabathia on the hill and the Orioles with Rodrigo Lopez starting, and it snowed buckets that day in Baltimore.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Jay Gibbons legitimately on March 31st, 03, looking up into the right field sky, lost a fly ball in the outfield because there was such a driving snowstorm. And I just thought it was the coolest aesthetical thing ever that there was enough snow basically that we were contemplating, like, are we going to have this game stop for a snow delay in Major League Baseball? I'd never seen anything like that. My boy Marty Cordova, who once fell asleep in a tanning bed and scratched his face so bad that he went to the injured list, true story. He hit a home run late in that game that was a dramatic, like, two-run shot to tie the game. The Orioles
Indian
ended up
too,
losing,
which is
I
a
think.
Big deal. Yeah.
What's that?
Because he played for the Orioles, but wasn't he a former Indian as well?
Yeah, he was an Indian Rookie of the Year, if memory serves.
Yeah.
I could have that off, I would guess, like 94, 95, but I'm pretty sure he won the Rookie of the Year award with them. But then he hit a bomb on opening day. You know, this was several years later after he left there. But those are just a couple of my memories. What was your other one?
So this was also an Orioles memory. My sister's birthday, April 6, 1987, opening day, Orioles 2-1 win. But we couldn't go every year, just, you know, for a million different things. But it was always this somehow worked out that for some reason we weren't in school and my sister already had something else going on. So I'd kind of convinced my dad and we drove up there and, you know, parked and everything was awesome. Mike Boddicker, 7 2/3 of one-run ball. They gave up a run in the first inning and I'm going, here we go, the Orioles stink again, and then he proceeds to HR shoving stuff the rest of the way. And Don Ossie comes in and gets the fireman style inning and a third save to make up for it. But I remember after the game, you know, just it was that kind of when the Orioles had a couple of nice players of their own, obviously Ripken and Eddie Murray, but they also had some of like the guys that were great elsewhere. You know, the Fred Lynns of the world, the Ray Knights of the world, you know, that were kind of their second or third stop as things go. And I remember leaving the game being like, I'm pretty sure Ray Knight's the best player in baseball. I'm pretty, because he went 2-for-4 that day and I was 8 years old. So I just assumed that sample was the sample. Ray Knight had a couple hits. Therefore, he's the best player on the Orioles and probably the MVP of the league. We should probably talk about that, Dad. But just an amazing time. I mean, neither team was any good that year. But just remembering that I somehow finagled an opening day on my sister's birthday. Like somehow it was about me, even though it was her day, was still one of my all-time memories.
Danny's in Rockville on line one, wants to give us his opening day memory yesteryear. What's up, Danny? How are you? I guess he's not there. He dropped.
You're nothing, so
you
Danny.
Made us look foolish, and for that you will never be forgiven. There's a guy named Dave Jouse, who's a longtime coach in Major League Baseball, and he's now a scout as well. He's been on the coaching staff with the Pittsburgh Pirates with Clint Hurdle most recently. But years and years ago, he was the bench coach for the Orioles, and I remember on opening day one day, sitting with him in the dugout. Really good man, just a great human being. And I'm sitting next to Jouse, and he goes, you know, this is the best day of the year every year. I said, yeah, there's no doubt. And he recalled that when he was a kid, early on, I don't know what grade it would have been, his mom gave him a note because he loved baseball so much. And it basically said, you know, Dave's, it's like a sick note, essentially, that he couldn't go to school that day. Mm-hmm. It was opening day, but you know, she made up some reason why he couldn't go. And she basically told him, if you can keep this note, you can use this note every year for as long as you have it the day after opening day, basically. And I think it was like a lesson in some way on like responsibility.
Valuing possessions.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's just his way that, you know, for opening day, that's what it is to him. That's what he remembers. And that's another story that I just won't forget. I think that's awesome. But for a lot of us, it's just a romantic, cool thing. It's the start of the summer. You know, those cookouts are coming. The late nights of being outside with the sun still up is coming. And baseball's around the corner. And this year, unfortunately, that may not be the case. Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you want to talk opening day, you can. 800-636-1067. It would have been today. Next, Ron Rivera was on the radio in Charlotte. His first comments on Dwayne Haskins versus Kyle Allen and whether or not there will be a quarterback competition. You'll want to hear this. 30 minutes from now, the agent for Trent Williams on whether or not he's going to be traded and what is going to happen with Williams and the Redskins right here on the Fan. The audio from Ron Rivera on WFNZ in Charlotte on the quarterback room with the Redskins, why he wanted to bring in Kyle Allen, why the Redskins didn't want to bring in Cam Newton, and what all this means for Dwayne Haskins. We'll play that in just a moment. By the way, I wanted to give you kudos, Danny. You started a great feature on your Twitter account last night at Funny Danny.
Thank you.
If only we had a radio program where you could do this feature.
Something to that effect, right? Well, I didn't know if it would be the right thing for us because it only lasts – the whole point is that it's going to last less than 30 seconds, right? Because it becomes unwieldy if it's longer than that. But my plan as of now – and I'll probably have to delve into some other characters and things – but the plan right now is use one of my stupid impressions, whatever you want to call it, to talk about a trend, to explain a Twitter trending topic for that day. So last night kicked it off with Charles Barkley explaining Cheesecake Factory as to why that was a trending topic. So I did that last night, put it on my YouTube channel and the Instagrams and the tweets and whatever else. So I'm going to continue to do that just as something to kind of pass the time here during this bizarre, bizarre world. So 30 seconds or less is the idea.
And will you pick people that based on something in the news as well, or the person is just random and they're talking about what's in the news?
Well, I feel like I'm going to have to do, again, because you know how we were sitting here going, you know, for the movie club, we're like, well, we've got to make sure we get all the classics in. And kind of the idea is we're going to be doing this for a while. We're going to be watching a lot of movies, so there's no rush, right? We don't have to do The Godfather and Goodfellas and Pulp Fiction in the next 3 days because we're going to get to them eventually. That's the same kind of deal here. I'm just going to kind of keep going through the Rolodex of my my dumb voices to do it. So for whatever reason today, I thought about doing a Trump reading one of the trending topics, but we'll see what the topics are. Maybe it varies by person early on, but we're going to run through the entire list. I'm sure Dieter will make an appearance. I mean, I'll probably have to go into Milton in a few weeks, but we'll see.
You got a chortle from your boy last night. A real guffawing situation.
You
did
that.
Well. I like
Thank
that. You. It's also good to see the impressions, I think, for people. They hear them all the time.
Yeah.
It's good to see where they're coming from as well. All right, let's get to the Ron Rivera audio. And again, remember, 25 minutes from now, the agent for Trent Williams, who released the statement to ESPN and NFL Network a couple days ago that he wants his client traded, is going to be on the show right here on Grant and Danny exclusively in about 23 minutes on The Fan. So I don't know why, if you're a Skins fan, if you're a DC sports fan, or you just like radio, you wouldn't want to tune in to that. This was Ron Rivera on WFNZ in Charlotte, and shout out to Pete for letting me know. Sounds like this is our sister station as of 2016. I've been on this station. These guys have been on with us. This is a station on the Intercom family, so great on them for getting Ron Rivera on the air. But I want to play that the first cut here is on the young quarterbacks that the Redskins have now competing in their room and their quarterback situation in general.
I was only going to camp believing, but they're going to compete. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen. So we've just got to get ourselves ready and really like who we have in terms of our young quarterback. But Kyle's also a young guy that's got a live arm that understands the game, understands how we do things. So I'm excited about what this potential could be.
He uses the word compete, Danny. They're going to compete. Nobody yeah. knows what's going to happen. Interesting. We'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big question, obviously, you know, coach speak, what you're, of course, just going to say because you're the coach, or is there anything to that? Let's get more specifically, though, into Kyle Allen, who they brought in, and why Ron Rivera wanted to bring him along.
You know, Kyle fits what we do. He understands our system. You know, Scotty Turner's our offensive coordinator. We're using the system that we had basically had in place for nine seasons, and Kyle's a young quarterback. He's had some success. You know, he's good in the locker room. He understands what I'm looking for. He understands what Scotty's looking for. So hopefully we can take that and use it to our advantage with our new team.
I don't know about you, Danny, but when you start to hear a coach talking about how someone knows exactly what I'm looking for,
yep.
he fits what we do really well, he knows Scott Turner, my radar goes up just a little bit. We already knew all that, but to hear it from Rivera's mouth for some right. reason carries a little bit more weight. I mean, what do coaches love more than players who they've been with in the past who know exactly what is being asked of them? Think about Kyle Shanahan and Rex Grossman or – you know, Jay Gruden and Colt McCoy. You know, any of these guys that bring someone along with them every stop, Kyle Shanahan, Logan Paulson. Like if you can, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you work really hard, you get along with the coach, and they know that you're going to give them exactly what they're asking, it's like you're a made man in the NFL.
This is kind of how, it's A, how the world works, but B, how the NFL works, right? Obviously, listen, if you've got a superstar, if you've got Joe Burrow, it doesn't matter who's been with you before. Or, you know what I mean? If you've got a guy that you think is the next great thing, you could kind of throw those relationships out. But if there's any degree of uncertainty with who you have, et cetera, you're going to do that. You're going to default to somebody that you know, right? Because these coaches, you don't get to be at this high level without thinking that the way that you do it is the best way, right? I mean, the guys that are great at this always have an open mind. They're able to learn and adapt and you know, think new things. But you don't get to be a head coach in the NFL that's the CEO that's in charge of this coach-centric approach without thinking the way Ron Rivera does it is absolutely the right way to do things, right? And therefore, I want an extension of that on the football field. Enter Kyle Allen.
For the record, and this audio we're still efforting to get from WFNZ, you know, Rivera at one point during this interview is asked, Haskins is your starter, right? And he essentially confirmed that. He says we're going into camp believing that Haskins is going to be the starter. But then he says, and he goes on to say, they're going to be competing at the end of the day. And then you heard, nobody knows what's going to happen. So we just have to get ourselves ready. We really like what we have in terms of our young quarterbacks. Kyle's a young guy, has a long arm. And you heard some of the things he was talking about Kyle Allen there. So he didn't say Dwayne Haskins is not the starter. In fact, he said they're going into camp assuming that he is. But he also uses the word competition and talks about why they like Kyle Allen. One other thing that I think you might find intriguing as you're listening today here to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, Cam Newton is now available. Ron Rivera was asked about Cam Newton as a potential fit and just the idea of him being released. We can get to that in just a few minutes on G&D here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, so before we talk Newton, we can do that next segment, Danny. When you hear this, what do you think? Coach speak? Of course he's going to say that. Why sure. Name someone the starter and name someone the backup right now? Or do you actually give any credence to the idea of a potential competition?
I do. I do give credence to Clearwater Revival to it. I thought this all along, and that's kind of why I didn't like it. I mean, it was one of the reasons I didn't like it. A, they gave up a draft pick, but you know that's bygones. That's kind of, you know, this is where the relationship is now. I do buy it. I mean, Ron Rivera is on brand. I mean, again, remember when we would interview Bryce Harper or Robert Griffin III, and you would hear some of these cheesy kind of canned lines, and you'd kind of go, is this real? Is this guy sincere? And you'd figure out, yes, this is really how this person is. I think this is how Ron Rivera really is. I think coach speak is, and competition and all these things are ingrained in his DNA. And I really believe that if Haskins doesn't rise to meet the challenge, a.k.a. demonstrate a mastery of the system in the same way that Kyle Allen has, we could absolutely see something where if Haskins struggles out the gate and the team needs a couple wins to validate the new culture and the new thing, we could be talking about a Kyle Allen interlude, comes off the bench in week 6 or week 5 or something like that, and then maybe starts a couple games before they go back to Haskins, etc. I do think this is a real thing.
Yeah, I don't see a competition in the sense of Kyle Allen's got a chance to start early in the year. But to your point, I think, you know, we were a little bit dismissive maybe when he was initially acquired about the idea that he could play at any point this season if Haskins was healthy. And maybe that's overstated, but perhaps this is just Rivera doing what he would do with any player. Gassing them up, telling people they're really good, trying to instill confidence. I mean, this is what he did since 2011 in Charlotte. I mean, and having just watched the 2018 season of All or Nothing, this is literally the first page of his manual.
Exactly.
Every single player he is going to empower, he is going to put over, he is going to be their hype man. And so maybe that's all this is. So we'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. The agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, scheduled to join us in 17 minutes exclusively right here on G&D. You don't want to miss that. Give me a little John Fogerty center field any day of the week, but especially on the day when baseball's supposed to be played. Today was supposed to have been opening day. Look at the Nats schedule. They were going to be taking on the Mets at Citi Field today, and they were getting ready to come home to the nation's capital to lower the championship banner, you guys remember that, and get their rings in front of all of you at Nationals Park. And yet, here we are.
Yep.
No baseball. Some guy tweeted me, and God bless this guy. I want his optimism. I want his mindset on life, his outlook on everything. Something along the lines of, I don't remember the exact quote, it was last night. It's something like, man, opening day is supposed to be tomorrow, and now we got to wait until May. Wait,
May?
What? That's what he said. He's like, now we got to wait until May for baseball. If somehow in 5 weeks baseball is going to be played. We already know that it's going to take 3 weeks to a month from when they decide there's going to be a season to get everyone up to speed and to get pitchers' arms built up. All the executives that have come out and talked about this have already said that.
Yeah, so next Friday they're going, all right, we're good. That's the plan?
Enough time has passed, I guess. So we'll just play baseball now. No, that's not how it's working. I was hopeful initially of June. I don't think there's any chance of early or mid-June. Best case scenario, you're talking about late June right now. And it's probably more likely July if it happens. And I know you are on team. It's not going to happen at all.
I don't want to say that it's not going to happen at all. But I saw Rob Manfred said that he's optimistic about May. And I just hear, and I think there are two tracks, right? There's the, and I don't blame anybody for thinking this way, but I kind of am just scratching my head as to sort of the thought process, I guess, where they're going, okay, we think maybe we'll be able to do this in a couple months. And then I read the real world science track, which is, months, long, long time. Everybody hunker down. This is not going anywhere. We're not even at the worst of it. It's still ramping up. If we were on the downslope somehow, I don't know how it would happen because maybe there's treatments or whatever, then we could start talking about a couple months away. The fact that the bad curve or bad line is still drifting upwards, we're still in the it's not as bad as it's going to get phase, and people are saying, yeah, in a few weeks, the boys will get together, play some catch, and then we'll get out there and get it done. Just doesn't seem it seems like the side on sports is not reading the things that I'm reading, and I'm wondering where everybody's coming from, I guess is the way I would say it.
Yeah, and I understand your take and what you're saying more than I do anyone who thinks they're going to play in May, but look, nobody knows anything. And honestly, I mean, the commissioner doesn't know. The owners don't know. So, like, the other day someone asked me, they go, hey, man, when do you think baseball's coming back? I could say a date if you want. I don't know anything. People are losing jobs left and right. Now, I was talking to a buddy last night who's going through a tough time right now, and he's like, when everything gets back to normal, you know, these companies, they're not going to do this or they're not going to do that or they're going to keep cutting corners. And I was like, dude, we could worry about everything. Like, we could literally, your boy, I've talked about this on the air many times. I make no bones about this. I'm on anxiety medication. I have anxiety issues. Like, we could worry ourselves sick if we want to. But nobody knows anything. So what is the point of worrying about what might happen or what could happen? This could be months. It could be days. It could be weeks. Nobody knows. So as far as baseball and everything else, my stance right now is I'm in wait-and-see mode. I'm going to keep doing the show from home until I'm told not to. I'm going to say a prayer every night that I don't lose my job. And other than that, I'm going to watch my baby. It's her first birthday, by the way, and she took her first steps the other night. So that's pretty cool.
Is it really? It's the president's birthday today?
It is. So she came home, wow. You may remember, from the hospital last year on opening day because, in hindsight, this is utterly irresponsible. Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate that. On the 28th of March last year, the Nats opened their season. The night before opening day, I said to the nurses and stuff, so she was born on the 26th. On the 27th, I said, listen, we got to get out of this hospital. I got to be home by 1 o'clock tomorrow. And initially they're like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
This is a medical thing, Mr. Paulson, sir.
Right. And I was like, I understand all that. It's very important medically. Everything checks out. I said, I got to be on my couch at 1. I want my baby and my wife there. The Nats are open in their season. They're like, well, we'll send someone down to talk to you. I ended up going to some class, like, by myself that I had to take the next day at night with somebody so I could leave first thing in the morning. I just rushed them through all the paperwork the next day. And we sat down on, like, the third pitch. I missed the first two pitches as I'm running into the house for the start of the season last year. And the president was alive for the first ever Nats championship season.
That is wild. I didn't realize. I knew generally she was spring. By the way, I'm just irresponsibly bad at dates of birthdays. We've been working together for, we're in year 7 now. I'm really not sure when your birthday is. I know it's in the springtime at some point. I'm surprised
every
year.
I think you can guess year. The month.
April? May?
Wrong. May is right. You're August.
Yeah. So
I'm going to say you're August. I'm not going to know it. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to say you're August 11th.
No, it's you shouldn't feel bad at all. We opened this by me having no idea when you were born. And we've known each other for a very long time.
What is your birthday? 17?
August 23rd. I mean, but
23rd.
But there's no reason for you to know that. I know, like, the only reason I know my wife's birthday is, I had to find a way to commit it to memory, but it's Star Wars Day, May the 4th. I was like, yes, I can finally remember somebody's birthday. That's good. I've had friends since I was 5 years old that I'm surprised every year when they have a birthday. It blindsides me. It's my birthday today. Oh, my God, is it really? I feel terrible.
That's one of those skills, though, dude.
Yes.
That when people have the skill, and it's probably not even honestly mental as much as they are organized and have notations, but it is so impressive and it is just so attractive of a skill.
It's amazing.
Not in a platonic sense.
No,
but
it
like
is.
People, I love people who use names. So I always try to do this when I do radio hits out of market. And I'll say to the producer, okay, who's the hosts? And they'll tell me, and I always try to answer with the names of the people asking me questions. It sounds familiar. It sounds good on the air. Mick Mixon came on the other day, and you'd have thought we were best buddies, right, chopping it up. He's like, listen, Danny, I wouldn't want to tell you that I play the drums, but I do. And so it just sounds like you know this person better than you do. That's an awesome skill, but along those lines, my Aunt Judy is the one seed at You get a card on your birthday. You know, she got the card to the baby. Like, she just remembers these things, and she's got a calendar. I don't know how she organizes everything, but that skill is incredible.
I've got a friend, so she's my buddy's wife, but she's, you know, our friend now because we've known her for so long. Her name is Megan, just like my wife. She is incredible at it. I mean, incredible. She'll send messages like happy birthday to my kid, you know, and I have to ask my wife every time I talk to someone I haven't talked to in a couple weeks, what's their kid's name again? Like, how many do they have? Two or three? These are some of my best friends. I can't keep any of it straight. She's always first in line to happy anniversary to you, happy birthday to your child to you. Amazing to me. Like, it is, you said it's an attractive quality. That's the best way to put it. Like, you want this person in your life because they make you feel amazing that they remember this little thing about you. It's phenomenal.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Next on the show, top of the hour at 11, we're supposed to be joined by the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor. Remember, he has already publicly said he wants his client traded or released. We will talk with him next. Spread the word right now. Send a tweet if you would and let people know that they can stream and listen to the interview live on The Fan in a moment. Hey guys, Grant Paulson for my friends at Lindsay Chevrolet. They got fresh, amazing spring discounts just announced. They are the number one Chevy dealer in Virginia. Do what I did and get a car from Lindsay. I've got two cars from their lot because their GM, Paul Smith, is my guy, and he could be your guy too. Up to $7,000 right now off Malibus, Camaros, Blazers. Up to $10,000 off Equinoxes, Traverses. Plus, now during truck month, heavy and light duty Silverados, up to $15,000 off MSRP. 1,000 vehicles to choose from. And my buddy Paul Smith and the team at Lindsay Chevy will not be undersold on any of them. Now is the time at Lindsay Chevy, and Lindsay Chevy is the place. Don't miss out. I love it at Lindsay. You will too. Check them out, lindsaychevy.com, or better yet, cruise over to Lindsay Chevy in Woodbridge. Talk to my guy, Paul Smith, the GM, and tell him he said.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.